The reading of God's Word from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are not swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. So tell us, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." So they brought him a denarius. Jesus asked them, "Whose portrait is this and whose inscription?" And they answered, "It's Caesar's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and they went away. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. We Americans pride ourselves on being a nation of laws. We have learned over the years of our existence that in order to have a stable and secure society, it's not a matter of everyone making up the rules that he or she thinks is best. It is more important to have defined parameters so that, as the saying goes, the peace can be kept. But sometimes we have gone overboard in terms of being, how shall I phrase it, nitpicky and allowing laws to remain on books far after their value has expired. I understand that in Amarillo, Texas, not to pick on Amarillo, it is a lovely place. So if anyone here is from Amarillo, meet me in the narthex after the service and I will apologize. But in Amarillo, Texas, I do understand that it is against the law today to bathe on Main Street during banking hours. And I could go on and on with other examples in other places, perhaps even Birmingham. But to suffice it to say that it's so easy for us to look and listen and laugh at laws like that, legislation like that. But my guess is that when those particular laws were put in place, they were intended to address a particular situation and to maintain the status quo until the context changed, even though the law didn't. I think about years back in the Baptist church, not this Baptist church, but in the church I grew up in the Baptist hymnal, 1956 edition. In the front of our hymnals, we had a church covenant, and in that covenant we pledged, not the Apostles' Creed, Tim, we pledged to refrain from tattling and backbiting and excessive anger, and to refrain from worldly amusements on the Sabbath, which means, Chad, I don't know about Vince Lombardi. I couldn't watch football on Sundays. But the point is, you see, we are all guilty of being a tad legalistic, understanding that on one hand, it's sort of comforting to have this list of rules and regulations, and you do this and you don't do that. And while that relieves us somewhat of the anxiety of having to make hard decisions in the course of life, it also robs us of the joy of coming to an understanding of how there should be one love and one loyalty that towers above all others and gives our lives the peace and the contentment and the joy for which every one of us so yearns. That's something of the point that Jesus was making in this story that's before us this morning. approached by the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, you have to understand, in the first century world, those were two political parties that were on the opposite end of the spectrum in the first century world. Think Dems and Republicans, Democrats and Republicans, the Pharisees. They were the progressives. They really were. Opposed to Rome, the Herodians, on the other hand, loved Rome's influence in the land, and particularly how Rome had supported, propped up their puppet king, Herod. The Pharisees and the Herodians couldn't agree on anything except one thing. They could not stand Jesus because they were threatened by him. They felt the peace was threatened by him. And so in an effort to trap him, it was a legalistic trap. Answer this question, Jesus, yes or no, right or wrong, up or down. Do we pay taxes to Caesar or not? You can appreciate the dilemma in which Jesus found himself. Say, yes, pay the tax to Caesar, and the Pharisees would have been on his case. Say, no, don't think of paying Caesar his tax. Then the Herodians would have jumped on him. He could not have won except in the manner in which he answered their question. He asked for the coin, which they had no problem coming up with. And then he asked his opponents, well, whose picture is on this coin? And they had to admit the obvious. It's Caesar's, and not just his image, but the inscription. He is the divine Augustus. He is the Son of God. He is the high priest of the Roman pantheon. Jesus was saying to both the Pharisees and the Herodians, you have already sold out. Do not hear Jesus saying that we are able to compartmentalize life so that we have our business world here and our leisure world here and our social world here and our political world there. That's not what Jesus is saying in this teaching. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to God the things that are God's. He's not saying you compartmentalize life and that's how you hold things together. Instead, by bringing God into the equation, Jesus was condemning his opponents by helping them to see that there is not anything in life that falls outside the purview of God. Don't hear Jesus saying that even today we can compartmentalize life, give to God what is God, and then all of these other places in life we can do as we please. Hear Jesus saying that it all belongs to God. All of life belongs to God, and when we are able to order our lives totally and completely and to give to God what God deserves, even as God totally and completely has given of himself to us through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by living into that one loyalty, that is how life comes together and makes the most sense. This morning, could you order your life around your loyalty to God? And if you can answer that question in faithfulness, then you will come to discover that living in accordance with that one loyalty, just that one thing, will be the most liberating and the most joyful and the most wise and most sensible thing you will ever do. Give to God everything that belongs to Him.